Sherman next decided to try a Western approach to Atlanta. And on July 25th through the 27th, he shifted the Army of Tennessee from his left flank, from the eastern end of the line, to his right flank, to the western end of the line. The Army was now commanded, since McPherson's death, by Major General Oliver Otis Howard. Howard had fought up to this time in the east. He'd commanded the 11th Corps at the Battle of Chancellorsville, where it had been routed by Stonewall Jackson. Commanded the 11th Corps again on the first day at Gettysburg, where it had been driven back into town by Richard S. Ewell's Confederate Corps. He was an extremely devout officer. When he had been at West Point as an instructor, he had led prayer groups for the cadets, which had made him popular among the devout cadets, and it made him the butt of many jokes from the cadets who were not so devout. He'd lost an arm at the Battle of Fair Oaks in 1862. He was a Republican and an abolitionist, and therefore atypical in terms of his politics. Howard University would be named after O.O. Howard after the war. But here's Howard in command of the Army of the Tennessee now, and he is shifting to the west. Hood saw what Sherman was attempting to do and decided to try to exploit the situation by catching the Army of the Tennessee in motion and striking it while it was vulnerable. He planned to have part of two of his infantry corps hit Howard southwest of Atlanta before the Federals had gotten into position. On the afternoon of July 28, the Confederates attacked Howard's army near Ezra Church. In the battle of that name, the Southern infantry ran up against a portion of Howard's army that had been placed in anticipation of just the type of move that Hood was making. It was a nice piece of work on the Union side, and this infantry that blocked the Confederate assaults carried out its duty very well. The Southern troops charged with their usual enthusiasm, but they could not dislodge the defenders. Hood lost another 5,000 men. The Federals, about 600. It was a clear setback for the Army of Tennessee and John Bell Hood. Now, the only bright spot for Hood was that this series of attacks prevented Sherman from cutting a major supply line into Atlanta. But the Battle of Ezra Church, coming on the heels of Peachtree Creek and the Battle of Atlanta, destroyed the offensive power of the Army of Tennessee. In a bit more than a week, Hood had bled nearly 20,000 casualties from his army. His men suffered a drop in morale. A few of his soldiers, in fact, had broken and run at different occasions in this fighting. There's a story, again perhaps apocryphal, about one Confederate who sprinted away from one of the battlefields at Atlanta. One of his comrades shouted out to him, "You know, why are you running?" And the guy, without breaking stride, turned around and answered, "Because I can't fly," and continued on to a place of safety. Sherman was delighted with what was going on. He wrote to his wife, "I'm glad when the enemy attacks, for the advantage is then with us." Jefferson Davis changed his mind about tactics after this enormous bloodletting in late July. He told Hood to stop attacking, conserve his strength. "Please don't risk any more assaults," said Davis. Hood had no option but to pull into the city's elaborate defenses and prepare for a siege. Sherman's army tightened its grip on Atlanta, bombarded the city, the southern positions, and the city constantly, and continually reached out to try to cut the remaining rail links that tied Atlanta to the outside world. In late August, Sherman swung quickly to the southwest and then back again to the east to get at these last vital lifelines. He knew that Atlanta's fortifications were too strong to be taken via frontal assault, and he also had failed in several efforts by his cavalry to cut these last supply lines, so he decided to do it with infantry, with a good piece of his army. Now, his movement out to the southwest at first fooled Hood into thinking that Sherman was retreating. And Hood, in fact, sent a message to Richmond saying that there's good news at Atlanta. The Yankees have withdrawn from my front, in effect. Trains carried some Georgians back into the city. But as a celebration was brewing in Atlanta, Sherman's men reached the railroads about 20 miles south and began to tear them up. Desperate to reopen the lines, once he found out about this, Hood sent II Corps to try to retrieve the situation. They attacked Sherman's troops. In the Battle of Jonesboro,